Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Melanin Wave podcast. And if you're new here, we are your hosts. My name is Remy.
Monica.
And I'm Jade.
Juliet Kama. Spadiliki, melanin do chini akuna bleaching. Black is beautiful, you're not teaching.
Girls are thinking, ni making true na my queen. Squad, you're the back at DJ. You can just see her yawning. It's way past Jane's bedtime, if you...
Mine too, by the way. Mine too.
Hmm? Your too?
Nowadays. I don't know whether it's the old age kicking in, God forbid, because...
Guy, Monica.
What are you trying
do not
to
insult me? Us. Do not insult me, us.
I'm telling you nowadays, naketitu ibichini. 2 seconds later, I'm sleeping.
You're
what's
sleeping.
That? That's all ghetto.
Ghettoest ghetto.
That's how you guys usually feel.
Young, that early to bed, early to rise, it makes a man healthier, wealthier, and wise.
Wow.
And that's why I am the way I am.
That's why you are so wise.
And wealthy and healthy.
Healthy.
So, Monica, keep on. You'll join Jane's committee.
I will. I better. By the way, yesterday I slept early and I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning. So.
Wow. Nice.
As you can see, old age. This is how you know things are getting tough. It's getting real.
How have you guys been?
Been good.
Anything to report?
Hey, a lot of things are happening, but you know, let's take these things one thing at a time. Let's take these things one thing at a time. Hey, nah, just some worksheet, man. We will come back to this.
Okay.
We will revisit,
We will revisit this.
We want it when it's already cooked and brewed and
the final thing ready.
Jen, anything to report?
Yeah, I'm on my last week of my working place and I'm starting a new job next week.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I think that's the only thing we talk about in this podcast, how I'm changing jobs.
I was about to say, you remember a few weeks ago you were like, the way this is the only place you have been working. And I asked you and you were like, Guy Money, don't say that. When I was asking you whether you are changing. No sooner than.
I'm a whore. I go from one place to another. You give
as
me the money
be,
I can.
By the way.
Yeah, it's good. I mean.
As it should be.
Shouldn't
be
if a place is not serving you, you move to a better place.
Well, even if it's serving you, if you get a better server.
Of course.
Yeah. Exactly. Because that's the deal right now. Me, I'm being served well where I am. But I need to try the other one also to see if it's better.
It must be better and it has to be better by the...
If the grass is greener, so...
You just remember you have to water it.
But I have a return ticket, so... if it's a little bit yellow, I go back.
Or if there's no water on the other side...
You know,
just go back. Hey,
okay. Yeah, nice, and you, Remy?
Me, I'm still. What can I say? Living on the. What would I call them? Energy vibes. Of traveling, so I traveled a couple of weeks ago to Dubai. And oh my God, yeah. I'm still flying on those vibes.
It was something.
At least it's giving you the energy to push on until summertime.
Like, honestly, someone was asking me, like, if I was able to relax, like, And I told them, like, what I'm feeling is energized.
That's a good word to put it.
So, I love it. I love it, Remy.
Otherwise, nothing new.
Bye. We are happy. You're happy. We are happy. Me, I just felt mad for more when you went because I was like, oh my days. Soon Rusha took his bag.
I know.
Because.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
That's what she should have done. Just taken us. Yeah.
Taken you. Yeah, next time.
Next time. Yes. Amma, you shall sponsor us. Jane, with your new job, you better sponsor us.
My for a sponyo. Actually, I was looking
so you say
by the way, speaking of sponyos, me, I think I'll get a sponyo.
You better.
I think I'll get a sponyo. But now, the issue I have is, do I have to get married to this sponyo?
No.
So that when we divorce, I get half of his property. If I'm thinking about my future. Long and
see, he can no, you know, he can invest in you without you getting married to him. He can invest in you, like buy you property in your name, you know, like buy you gold, buy you sijui nini hizo shares hukukule. You don't need to get married.
But me, I want a big investment, like 50%.
See, he's going to invest in
his net worth. Hey, Jane.
Wait. When he divorces you, Amma, when he?
See, when we divorce.
Not when he.
No.
When he's 6 feet under.
No, what if I don't think like that. No. That is bad.
So now, how will you get rid of him?
By divorcing
him. What if he doesn't?
What if you sign a prenup?
You'll just create a nini. A scenario, like a. What do you call it?
No, but let me wait. What if he makes you sign a prenup?
He'll forgive you.
Because he's a sponyo. No, anyway, on a serious note, like, I don't know. The law in Kenya is that when people divorce, like, they split the property half-half.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So in January, this person took a case to court, and because he or she didn't want to split the matrimonial property into half, because the person claims that they contributed more to the marriage than the other spouse did. So this person, I'm so tempted to say he, I don't know why, but I'm just assuming, but this person decided to take the matter to court, and it went to the next level of court, and then it went to the Supreme Court. So the Supreme Court ruled on 27th of January that the formula of 50-50 is not necessary. You don't need to automatically like divide the matrimonial property 50-50
half-half.
Upon a divorce. So there has to be proof as to what you contributed into the matrimony, the marriage,
the property, the investments,
during the marriage or whatever. Yeah. So in this case, for example, it was proven that the other party, now the one who did not contribute enough, apparently had contributed in the sense that they had taken care of the home, and so not financially, like they couldn't prove that it was financial. But they did participate one way or another.
Running the home.
So that they decided that they're going to, that person is going to get 30% of the matrimonial property. And I was thinking, damn, can you imagine if you've worked so hard all your life, like in, and then you get married to this person, and then you divorce. And then you divide everything half-half. And for sure, this person has not contributed to half of that property. Is it time that we need to normalize getting prenuptial agreements? Like, just normalize it. Whether you have or you don't, like, what do you guys think?
So first, let's start with this guy. So this guy won.
In the Supreme Court. Yeah. And now, basically... once the Supreme Court has made that kind of ruling, it means that the next time a case like that is taken to court, like even the lower courts, they will have to consider this Supreme Court ruling. So it's not necessarily from then henceforth, it's not automatic that people will be dividing the matrimonial property half-half upon divorce.
Yeah. So now this taking care of the home was not counted as investment.
It was counted as investment, and that's why this person got the 30%.
30%. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
30% and not 50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Me, I don't know. I must say, I feel like there's some feeling around prenups, like a stigma. Mm-hmm. Okay. First of all, I feel it's like for people with
very wealthy people.
Thank you, Monica. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like not just normal. I don't know.
Baragarias.
Normal, common wananchi wealth.
Me and you
get what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. Like it's in the billions of money you get. I don't know.
And do you feel like it's in the billions of money and one party has to have that those billions of money and the other party does not have?
Exactly. Yes, yeah, so. That's how it feels. Yeah, for me. Exactly.
Yeah. But how would you feel, like say for example, because I'm thinking on my part, like of course, I'm going to become a millionaire. I know that.
Amen.
For a fact. And I'm thinking I'm now a common. I'm a commoner, right? I'm your everyday girl. I marry an everyday man. I work my little butt off. Little.
Anyway. You're belittling your butt.
My butt, yeah. But I work my ass off, like literally. I make my millions. And this guy, not saying that he's not working his life out. We are married, right? We don't have any prenup. And then he's working, he's contributing to whatever he is contributing to. But I'm buying the big cars, I'm buying the big house, I'm contributing more. And then we have a divorce. Is it fair that we divide my hard and contribution 50-50?
I think also you'd have to put into consideration what has he been
contributing in the relationship?
Has he been supporting you? Let's say you guys have kids. Has he been taking care of the kids? Maybe let's say when you're not there, has he been, you know, doing like running, let's say running the house? You understand? Because when we talk of someone taking care of the household, we're assuming it's always the woman who's always taking care of these things. But roles can be reversed, Jane. Like, let's say the example you've given us. It can be you now. You are the one who's earning these millions.
And even the contribution can be, like, if it wasn't for you having a partner, you wouldn't have been able to pull off some of these things.
Yeah, exactly.
Like in that way.
Yeah, kind of because let's say even, maybe let's say you are a single parent. So, Jane.
Monica, just finish.
No, let her talk. I think she has a burning question or comment.
No, but I'm thinking this thing of contributing or so to speak, somebody helping you out or blah, 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 all that, shouldn't that be then in the prenup also? Like, yeah, in the case of a divorce, we are not going to divide 50-50. Everyone will go away with what they came in with. And then you will get 5% for contributing into whatever it is that you contribute.
But I think most prenups are always that way, Jane. Like the most prenups, like they state, like anything that you come with in this marriage, in case of a divorce, you're going to live with that. Unless you guys have decided, okay, maybe the wealthier person is going to give 10% to this person or blah, blah, blah. But I think these terms you have to come with them. You yourselves, like the two of you have to sit down and come up with these. Yes. Yeah. You understand? Yeah. Because also these things that we are saying, like helping out, there's nothing like helping out. You have the two of you have decided to come together. You're not helping out anything. Like this is your role. These are your roles. You take, like you are contributing.
Okay. Of course, like taking care of the kids, those are not helping out. Those are roles.
Those are not helping out.
I mean, now, let's say you're working your butt off. I don't know, sitting down, writing, how can I say, business plans, and maybe it is your business, but they helped you, they sat with you. You get what I mean? Everything is in your name, but they burnt the midnight candle with you. You get what I mean? If you're prepping for an interview, they are there, you're doing practice with them. they're telling them, throw me this question or do that. You know, you get what I mean, Jane?
That's helping out.
Full support. That's what
I
mean.
Can't I get that full support from my friends either?
Yes, you can.
You can.
So what?
But still, you see now, Jane, this is someone who you're sparing. You're sparing. This is someone who you are sharing a space with. You understand?
I didn't even know what you were about to say, Ante. What?
Spare. This is someone. You are sharing a space with guys. Be serious. This.
Okay, Monica. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Jane, we are sorry. This is someone you are sharing a space with. So, I mean, you know, after you being late at night, maybe you're inconveniencing them. Because let's say you're even loud. You are not those people who you think quietly. Maybe you are a loud thinker. I don't know. Mm. But you've chosen to be in each other's lives and spaces. So, in whatever way, like, you guys are still intertwined in whatever that you're doing. And also, whether you like it or not, could be that your success, this person has also contributed in that success that you have gotten. Because take, for instance, people who get married when they both don't have anything. And then someone just becomes very wealthy. And then maybe they divorce. And then, Sasa, like, so you won't give this person whom you started with anything. You won't, Jane.
50%. My point.
Not 50%. It doesn't have to be 50%.
But now you see, if we follow, for example, the rules, like anything that has been acquired, let's say the Kenyan law, anything that has been acquired in a matrimonial home, then should be divided 50-50. Surely. We have acquired. I have acquired. I have brought it here. Like, why can't we just normalize? Okay, maybe I'm selfish. I don't know. Or I'm whatever, but why can't we normalize things like, yes, we have a car, we have bought a car, but if the money is coming from me, how about we have that car in my name? He can still use it if he wants to use it, but what?
But it's still yours.
It's mine, right? I'm not saying that at now I'll be saying to get out of my car or something like that. In the event that we, and a car is something really small. Let's say I go and see a piece of land and I want to buy it. Why should I buy this piece of land in our name? Why can't I buy it in my name?
In your name. Yeah, if I understand. You're the only one I get paying you, Jane, for actually.
It. Yeah. Yes.
I understand that, Jane, because if you see in most cases, most men also, like, who are wealthier than their wives or their girlfriends or whatever, when they buy these things, let's say they buy a car, the logbook is in their name. But they tell you, this is your car or this is our car, you can use it. But I have given you this car, you can be using it. But who owns that car? It's that man who owns that car. So by the way, what you're saying makes sense. Makes sense.
And yeah.
Yes.
Let me ask, is this 50-50 law? Is it universal? Is it in all countries, like when you're married and...
I have no idea, but I think it's in most of those countries that people divide 50-50. Hence, the prenuptial agreements and hence... Yeah. People choosing not to get married.
Yeah.
I think it's not maybe universal, but I guess you have to really prove that this person did not contribute 50%.
Anything, yeah.
And now in such a case where you're saying you buy, whether it's a car or land or a house, and then it's just in your name, if you're married, when you divorce, does that property automatically just yours?
No, if you don't have a prenup, it is 50-50 because it was acquired.
Even if it was just in your name.
Exactly. Yes. And that's what I'm saying. Can't we just normalize people having a prenup and stating clearly that, okay, fine, yeah, we are married. Anything we acquire within the marriage is ours, yes. But if something is stated clearly that it belongs to another person, how about we respect that? And it belongs to the other person, you know, like, but this whole issue of 50-50, I don't know. Remy Kwanza, there is a story. Do you mind sharing? There is a story. Because
I can't see your face. Nini,
you can't see my face.
I'm only seeing your Nini. You are this. You are East Africanism.
Shut up. So now... there's someone I know who got married. They met abroad. And then okay, before this world can't see me. What do you want to see?
You want to see your mouth moving.
Give your me nudity. A minute. My nudity.
We know you're kind.
I know. That's what I'm trying to hide. Can you see me now?
We see you.
Better.
So now, anyway, this couple met abroad.
Sasa, and then, we are not seeing your eyes. Akiremi, stop joking.
Okay, surely, but I can see myself. What do you mean?
We don't care whether you can see yourself. It is us.
You don't need to see me. You need to hear what I'm saying. Can you
I
see
can't
me?
I can concentrate.
Okay, so this couple meets abroad.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get married and then move to Finland. And yes. And then... In this, so the ladies were the one who was from abroad and the guy is from Finland. And in the country where the lady comes from, they pay dowry. So now I'm hearing this story post the wedding and post moving back to Finland and all that. So this guy suddenly, okay, I don't know suddenly, according to the story, suddenly becomes like a... what do you call it?
Abusive?
Not abusive. Oh. Like, hataki kupeana pesa. What do you call it? Stingy. Stingy is the word. Mm-hmm. Stingy with his money. And like, you know, every penny is being counted and all that. And then apparently he had not yet paid for the dowry. And the, you know, the wife is demanding for the dowry to be paid as promised. He had promised to pay dowry. So, of
Can
course,
you mention
this lady
the dowry in euros. The dowry in euros.
The dowry in euros. In euros was a, was it 10K?
10,000.
10,000 euro. Yes.
Wow.
Even me, I want one like that.
So, yes. Mm-hmm. So this guy says, if you want, okay, first let me give you a nini, like this in the whole scenario. So this lady moving to Finland, of course she has nothing here. She's starting off from scratch.
Mm.
This guy is quite established, has his own place and a job and all that. And then, yeah, so she is starting with really the basic, learning the language and stuff like that. So, and then, yeah, asking for pocket money here and there, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So then there's the story of, yeah, you haven't paid to the dowry. You need to pay the dowry. So the guy says, if you want me to pay the dowry, we need to sign a prenup. And so the lady is thinking, where did this come from? Prenup for who? Prenup for why? Like, you know. Okay, I don't know what happened after that. But the question is, what do you guys think? Is he right to say that? Because before, why didn't he say it? Me, my question was, why didn't he bring up the prenup thing before the whole marriage issue?
Because, first of all, he's a bit shaken about, he has seen something.
Yeah,
and he knows that
definitely.
This is going nowhere. So he's most certainly like, how can I say, not stable in that relationship.
He doesn't feel that's like the relationship is stable.
Is going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like he can foresee a divorce sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm.
Now, me this 10,000 euro, I'm thinking.
Isn't that the nini, the normal dowry people are paying nowadays?
Some are getting more, but anyway.
Me, this 10,000 euro, I think I'm getting married 5 times.
I know.
Can you imagine?
Anyway, we become millionaires.
Easy.
We become millionaires.
Because now I'm thinking, surely, can you imagine he pays this 10,000 euro and then they divorce? And then they still have to divide their property like half-half or whatever.
Mm.
Can you see the madness in all this? And then you will claim that she contributed in that relationship. She was
what
there
did she
when
contribute by the
she was like taking care of the home and doing bull. Like this thing of taking care of the home, it's either you get a salary, like you, this is your job, you're the homekeeper, and one way or another, this home has to be taken care of. So if you're not going to work, surely. Isn't it then your responsibility to take care of the home? So I don't get this thing where people say that, oh, you know, Ati, I was the homekeeper. Yeah, get an allowance for that, being a homekeeper.
Yeah, and exactly, Jane, if you're a homekeeper, you need to get an allowance because you don't have any off days, by the way, when you're a homekeeper. You understand? You're up when Jane, because imagine if you need to do your hair, where are you going to get the money from? Unless this person is giving you money like for upkeep and actively giving you money, not those people who are waiting for you to tell them, hey, you know, please, could you please give me money? I need to
do
my hair.
Then this month it's €20, next month it's 50, the other one it's 50.
That is why nobody needs to be a homekeeper. Get your ass up and go to work.
But yeah, but like you said, Jane, someone needs to take care of this house. If it is not the both of you, then who's taking care of this house? Then you hire someone to take care of the house. If you have enough money, then you hire someone to take care of this house. But still, it still doesn't make any sense, because if, let's say, I am not working, then I become the homekeeper, why can't I get the money without any arguments?
Exactly.
Why do I have to keep on pushing someone for me to why do I have to keep on pushing someone to give me the money? No.
Yeah. But then I'm just imagining a scenario where somebody has paid €10,000, keeps you in the house, buys you food, buys you clothing, buys you shelter, buys you every, like gives you every single
But then
thing
I'm thinking these €10,000, kwani it was nini, it was what do I say? Kwani it has to be that €10,000. Kwani
no, that was the agreement.
Agreement between whom?
See the family.
Wow.
Monica, how much do you think you're worth?
Enyewe. Hata sidhani nimefika hapo watu wangu. Wow. But then I'm thinking now, okay, for example, let's say, fine, he pays this 10,000 euros. So where we imagine, let's say, let me put myself in this man's shoes. If it is me paying dowry for someone for €10,000, and then at a few months down the line, I'm a few years down the line, your family, you come telling me at, oh, you know, my parents need this and that, could we please,
I would
like
never give you
changia money. Mimi, I would not never. That €10,000, please let it cater for the rest
for
of your
everything.
Lives
exactly.
Yes. For your whole family, for the rest of your life. Because why are you coming to tell me to give you money? Kwani, even me now, I will behave the way Europeans behave. Kwani, why are we giving money to
your
family?
Your family? Now you're no longer part of them.
Exactly. Yes. And me, I'm thinking, first of all, this €10,000, it should be written, this 10,000 is for the next 30 years of your life.
No, it's for the rest of your lives.
No. If you got married at 30, we are calculating that you're probably going to die at 80. So this is for 50 years. Cindy, so by any chance, if you divorce after 30 years, solve for X, you need to return X amount of money. Because you can't make such an investment. That's a shit investment.
By the way, that's an investment.
It's an investment.
And that's a very risky investment, by the way.
Very
is
risky.
Is it sure bet? Yes. It's not sure, because anything can happen. This person might wake up tomorrow and she's like, you know what? Like, fuck you. And everybody else, I want a divorce. So, Zaza, you and your €10,000, are you going to get a refund?
For me, I'm thinking this is something that also should be written down, like in the prenup. Like, hey, I gave your family €10,000 for your dowry, whatever it is, cultural or whatever crap you want to call it. So that's part of expenditure. Yes, your income.
Yeah,
that
so it should
expenditure.
Be need removed from this.
From this, as we are calculating this 50% and we are coming down to 30 to 22, at the end of the day, you get nothing.
But I do get the, how can I say, the feeling that this lady got, because I'm thinking, even myself, when I was getting married, I didn't, we didn't speak of anything of prenups or such things. But now, how do I... Jane looks very disappointed.
But me, I know why. You were very naive when you were getting married.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I'm getting to. Then I wasn't even thinking of, you know, and we were both really starting off our lives, our careers. You get. No one was at a... Okay, maybe he was a bit more settled than I am, but anyway. So now... 10 years down the line, and then I wake up one day and I tell him, hey, by the way, me, I want a prenup. Like, you get
yeah.
the Do sound you know what? How it would feel. No, like, me, I feel, by the way, Remy, ata, unajua nini? Let me tell you my 2 cents. Ata, there's nothing wrong with you waking up one day and you saying you want, you should start discussing a prenup, because ata your marriage, it is a contract, and you renew contracts, by the way. Even if it's a permanent contract you have gotten, you know, you might be thinking, these terms do not suit me anymore. So now we need to go back to the drawing table and we need to revise this thing. By the way, you know, and come up with a new contract. So anything is very, very possible, by the way.
And I also think that, like I said, normalizing talking about some things, because... I was in a situation where it was a business thing, and while we were making the business contract, like, we had to state clearly that partners and children are not involved in any way form in the business. If one of the parties dies, then the other party has to buy off the next of kin, but this next of kin cannot come in the business. You understand? This next of kin cannot come and be part of the business. You have to buy off, like, that other. So you look at the assets that you have and evaluate the business, and then you basically buy that the shares, the other 50%. You buy them now for yourself.
But they cannot automatically,
But they cannot come in, not automatically, not in any way. So children and spouses. And it was clearly written and signed. Okay, so I think in everything that you do, even when you're like, say for example, you decide to buy a piece of land, you sit down with your spouse and tell them that, hey, listen, me, I've bought this piece of land, and I would actually want us to have an agreement that this piece of land belongs
to me, yes,
and it, even in an event of a divorce, this does not belong to you, and the next of kin for this property is not you. The next of kin is Waidera, who he does not even know.
Yeah.
You have decided it is whoever it is that is the next of kin. Like, we should be able to communicate these things. Because even your partner is not stupid seeing that you're earning more or you're bringing more to the table. I don't think they are that daft to actually think that. And it's a sense of entitlement if you actually honestly sit down with yourself. You bring 2% of the total income of this home, and you sit down with yourself in your right mind, and you think that 100% of what is in this home belongs to me. You're mad.
But you see, Jane, that's what you have, exactly what you have said. People are so entitled. People, we are so entitled. Imagine. We are very entitled. You know, you are out there waking up at the crack of dawn. You know, you are up late. You're working. And here I am thinking, you know what? Everything that you own is mine. And me, I don't have a problem, by the way. Let me just speak for myself. Me, please, you can share your wealth with me. Me, I don't mind, by the way. I will not, it's fine. I will not be demanding for you to give me 50%, but ataka 10. Kama mutu ni huyu mtu wa Facebook, wanaitwa nani. Akikupatia taka 10%, my friend, you're well off. But anyway, serious matters. What you've said, Jen, you can't be sitting there expecting to get half of what this person owns, and they have put so much work.
I think it's also like, Monica, when you said about evaluating the contract, I think you should also, like, what came now to mind is maybe like evaluate your relationship. Maybe you both started off, you know, you both started off at zero, you were both working hard at the same rate, you know, and then somewhere, somehow, someone lost motivation, whatever mm-hmm. happened. Mm-hmm. And then now they're just still slacking down and they don't want to continue in their development. You know, they're comfortable maybe with where they've reached, but you're feeling I still want more. So then maybe then is that should awaken the question, like, should we now start to get a prenup? Because you don't feel like you're moving at the same pace.
Yeah.
Or you're not moving, but you're not
your goals.
Your goals, yeah. Whatever, you want more. Aligning. Yeah. Mm. You're striving for more, yet they are not.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where they're
you're headed towards two different directions. And also because also me, I think actually when it comes to marriages and all those contracts, because it's a contract that you're signing with this person. Mm. You understand? I feel when you're getting married, even a few months down the line, you're not the same people who you are.
No, not at all.
When you are getting married, when you are signing that contract. So I really feel that. Imagine, because I've heard of couples who, when they're getting married, like they say, hey, we are going to be revisiting this contract after. It's like a contract every 5 years. Mm-hmm. We have to renew it. You know, we have to sit down, discuss, nice. And see whether we still want to remain married to each other. Mm-hmm. You understand? Mm-hmm. Like there are pros and cons. Like, is this marriage still serving me? Is this relation? Like, you know, like the things that, like, you have to see, like the way Remy, you've said, could be this person now, maybe they're going through something, or maybe they are comfortable with the life that they have, or maybe they're not motivated, and yet you're on a different level. You know, you have to come together and see where are we headed. You know, because could be you are just there suffering, and this person is thinking, me, I'm very okay with my life, and you are just there suffering. So I think it's something that people we have to really, really be honest and open and discuss this with you. You have to sit down and discuss this with your significant other.
Now, like, I'm thinking, is it even worth to get married then? Like, what are we even getting married for? Because I'm thinking before. I mean, because some people are so adamant about you need to have a marriage paper because of property or things that you've need together. But
if you
bought a house and you went to
1 minute, 1 minute. I think hapo kwa contract, and especially I think in Kenya, it's because like people insist on the contract because of the in-laws.
Inheritance. You know?
Because of the inheritance, because let me tell you, the in-laws will smile with you. They will call you Shemeji, Shemeji. You wait until the day their son dies. It is the day you will know you are never their Shemeji.
Exactly.
Okay, in that way. Yeah.
Yes, and they also even need to protect, even if you went they to need the, to protect their children and themselves, because maybe the two of them worked really hard for what they have, but yet the in-laws, they are feeling, no, this is our son's doing. You didn't contribute anything. So in that
even
way,
if
I understand.
It shows on paper that this house was 50 euros.
Do you think they give a damn, Remy? Do you think they care? Yeah. Me, I can tell you a story that I know. These, it was a couple and they had three children, and their dad died, and they had really established themselves. They were always so nice to this woman. You wait until their son died. Their son died he was not even, the body was not cold. They came, they were demanding for her to return her son's property. They were evicting her. Yes.
Okay.
From a house they had built for, and they had all this property for over 30 years. Yes. So she said, my friends, should we still wait for the burial? They were like, okay. Do you know?
This like woman, even the burial is not...
No. Do you know Remy, the husband, it's like he knew his family. All the properties they had bought, he had written her name. They had signed her name, like she owns, and the next of kin were the children. Like most of those, like he didn't even have any name on any of their properties. Good. It's like he knew. So that shut them up. But they could not believe it, because they were even claiming that she had forged the documents, and they were like, when did I get time to forge these documents? So in that way, I really, really understand, because my friend, you might be sitting there, you're thinking, yeah, I don't want to sign a paper, because, you know, like, we discuss these things and we are very open about this or all these things. But who are in-laws, Remy? They don't care. Then they don't know whether you have been discussing or not.
But I think in the sense like of buying property and buying things together, whether you're married or not, again, it's all about contracts. It's all about, I could buy property with you tomorrow. We don't need to
get married. Yeah, we don't get married, exactly.
You know, we just need to sign a contract that is very open and honest. So, Remy, back to your question. Why are we getting married then? We don't need to.
We don't need to. Really?
Because it's a contract, by the way. And and then also something else I always say, it's not this marriage certificate, it's not the one that is keeping you guys together.
No.
It is not this contract that is keeping you guys together.
Because if anything, it puts more pressure on you. Yes. Exactly. Or like you, I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like, couples should be very honest and open with some discussions, because like I said, for me, my ideal partner would be somebody that we can invest together, we can get property together. We don't necessarily have to be Mr. and Mrs. But yeah, we can have things together. I can have my own things, he can have his own things, we can have, you know, apartments for rent together in both our names. So those are our babies, like we take care of them together and we are partners, you know, but then we don't need to like necessarily have a marriage certificate like to show that we are partners, you know. And there's nothing wrong with me having my own things without telling him. With the money that we get together, the profits, if it's divided into two, what I do with my money is none of my partner's
business. I'm a firm believer in that also, Jane.
That's true.
I'm a firm believer in that, because also I feel if whether you're married or not, like even if you have signed that marriage certificate, imagine you can have your own things, you can buy your own property. And it's here, it's as you are married, it's you lit that one big candle, you took two small candles and you lit it, now you are one at Yangas. Now it means everything that you're doing, you're one.
Anyway, so you guys, I have a question. I'm asking for a friend.
We believe you.
You believe me. So let's say you're married, and then vile tu umesema sahi, like you have there's money you get, you have your own money, and you decide to do what you want to do with it. So you decide to make some investments with your money. Like your own private investments, isn't it? Maybe your partner knows, maybe they don't know. Shirao. Then, upate nini? Profit. Ama inaitua nini? Hizo. Returns. Sasa, ufikirie.
English, my friend.
Yo, so you think I would like to go on holiday or something? Like you want to spend your money. You get. Maybe you want to treat yourself on a holiday. And you have kids. So now, do you pay for your whole family, husband and kids? Or do you pay for yourself and the kids? Do you pay just for yourself and then half of the kids, and you tell your husband, well, by the way, if you want to join us, Jane, I can just see your answer in your
petty,
eyes.
By the way. Me, I'll pay for all of them. If I am capable of paying, if I'm capable of catering for all of them, imagine I'll pay. That's just being petty. What are you talking about? Even if I'm
what
the
if,
one who's earning more, I'm a
what,
made a profit.
What if you don't want to go with him?
See, then I go alone.
No, wait. What if you had told this person, hey, let's do this investment. I think it's going to need me.
Then they refused.
Yeah, kapuza. Like they refused.
Me, I will pay for them so that I show them you. You are nini this one. Eh. I imagine I would just pay, because me, I don't know. It feels petty.
I know. It feels petty. I know.
It was very, very petty.
Because I'm thinking if tables were turned, I would want to be paid for.
Exactly.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
Jane, give us the bomb.
Jane is looking at us as if you are possessed.
No, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with buying somebody a gift, because that's the same as if you're paying, it's like you're buying him a gift. But if it's if it's an investment that you feel like, okay, it was something that you were supposed to do together, but he didn't see the importance of it, and now these are your returns, you can tell them, hey, by the way, that investment, I got returns, and now I'm taking the kids on holiday.
If you want but to join not? Us, imagine maybe this person, imagine just, imagine this person is the love of your life. He's the best person, partner you, Jane, please. Please work with me here.
Jane, just imagine. She said imagine.
I'm
imagining.
This person, you will not have asked for a better partner than this one. Jane, you will still not pay for them. This is your soulmate.
Like I said, I have nothing against buying somebody a gift. I have nothing against paying for somebody's trip. Absolutely nothing wrong. But then if I'm second guessing myself, or if I'm questioning, like that wife is questioning, this is my money, these are my returns, and you are not part of this, and I want to treat myself, then I think you should.
But you see, guys, what I would ask myself in that situation would be, okay, is this a one-time thing? This money that I've got and these returns, is it a one-time thing? Is it that I will never get other returns? Or is this property not making any more profits? It's something that is going to be happening, you know, over time. Then if it's something that is going to be reoccurring, why would I not pay for my partner and our children? You just imagine, as much as I would really, really, really love to be selfish and take myself out and, you know, spend all this money on myself. I mean, if it's money that is, and especially if it's money that I'm making while sleeping, why not? I will pay for them as much as I'd love being petty, but I would.
Me as a gift, I have no problem. But if I'm second guessing myself, dude, I'll just tell you.
But you wouldn't feel guilty at taking, you know, treating yourself to a trip with your girls and
no. What about my girls? Hell no. Like that one, I would be so proud of myself, actually.
I know.
I'm thinking, if my partner has been a good partner, my friend, imagine, let's go enjoy ourselves. Because all partners are good partners, by the way.
You see, if this partner is good, you can also buy them a trip. And I mean, that's something that people do, even when you don't have these returns. Like sometimes you can save for something and pay for your partner's travel or something, you know. There's nothing wrong with that. But me, I believe in people having their own money and not asking for permission to do what
to
they
spend
can.
It. Yeah.
To
yeah,
spend it in whichever way they want to spend it. Like surely, even if you're what kind of partners, you can inform, because this is the love of your life and soulmate and all that crap, like you cannot live without them.
I was waiting for that one.
You know, like you can choose to inform them that, hey, by the way, yesterday I did this and this and this, as a by the way, or tomorrow I'm signing this contract. You know, I don't see anything.
Yeah. You are informing them. You are not asking them for permission.
You're not asking them for permission.
Exactly.
And that also happens in those relationships that you were at. Let's say it's just like normal mwananchis like you and me. It's not that we are millionaires or anything of the sort. When you're telling your partner something, you're not asking them for permission. You're informing them kindly.
You're informing them. Yeah.
Yes. Sure. Because this is not a parent child relationship.
Exactly. Exactly.
These are two consenting adults who came together. So
And I get that thing of people feeling like my partner needs to get involved in my life. Like if say for example I'm getting a new job, I need to tell them that I'm applying for this new job and I'm going for an interview and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. But, for example, if I think of my character, I'm the kind of person that I want to do my things sometimes in silence. There are things that I don't want to discuss with anyone until they are done. So why should it be any different with any partner that I have? You know, why should it be any different?
I don't even think it should or will be different, Jane. But I think if, let's say, it's your partner and you're going to look for a new job, I think you should inform them in case it's going to affect your income. both of your incomes, you understand, or the contributions that you guys are contributing towards your household. I think this person should be informed in case, maybe let's say now you're going to be, your income is going to be less than what you have been
earning. That will never happen.
No. I'm just saying just in case, because Jane, for the people who this might happen, you understand?
Maybe yeah. Even say, change dynamics. Or
exactly.
Maybe even taking the kids to school or daycare or school. Stuff yeah, like yeah. that. Yeah, like yeah. Yes,
exactly.
Yeah.
Because also imagine like back home, people pay school fees and all that. So if you are anything that you are anything that you're doing and you have been doing towards contribution to your household, you have to inform this person, because if you're working and you're going to be 500 euros less, your new job is going to be that, maybe because let's say for instance maybe you're going to be to spend the other time the rest of the time at home and all that, then they need to know, because now they need to come up with that 500 euros that you're not earning anymore. So you have to inform them.
Are you also obliged to tell, to tell your partner if, say, if you get a salary raise?
No.
But that's hivi.
Do you know why? No, it is not. Is it affecting our income? It is not. As a matter of fact, it is making my, what is my fees? My mental health to be better, because now I know I'm at peace, because I know I have some extra money somewhere. Okay? And this, ngoja, this extra money that I'm getting from work, this promotion or whatever you called it, it's me who's working.
Who's putting in the effort. I think we made it clear a while back that people should have my money, your money, and our money. Okay?
Yes.
So our money is what goes to the bills and stuff like that. So we agree that I am contributing 300 euro a month for this household. You're contributing 500. And that's that. If my salary goes down and I can still afford that 300, why should I tell you?
If you can still afford it, it's fine. Me, I'm talking in case you are not going to afford that 300 that you have saved. Then
it's only
that,
when you inform.
Yes.
But if say, now you see the agent said one is contributing 300, the other one 500 because of the difference of incomes.
Yeah.
So now the one who was contributing 300 is now earning more than they were earning. So they're able to contribute equally 500. Are you obliged to inform?
Well, as a decent human being, you can inform, but
that's
well,
what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Just out of like, you know,
yeah.
I mean, we
decency,
are too human.
Common decency.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
True. And I think all this that we are discussing is three different human beings with three different opinions and all that. But at the end of the day, also situations change. Like you said, you meet this love of your life, this soulmate, and you feel like, I need to share all this information. I don't see if there's anything wrong with that. Like, there's nothing, there's no right and wrong. It is exactly that, what Moni said. It's a contract, whether it's a marriage, whether it's whatever relationship. You guys have a contract and you change the terms and conditions as it well pleases
you.
Yeah, but me, I think, I still believe that prenups are very, very important. If you're planning to get married to someone,
I think so too, Jane.
Please make a prenup. Like, surely, make a prenup and normalize also things like big investments, putting it down. Like, yes, we have, you know, I feel so sad. I have a friend, a good friend of mine, who married this lady who was unemployed at that particular point when they got married. They went and got a loan for a house. And the house was in both their names. Okay? So it's a 50-50 now thing. Okay? They lived together in this house in harmony for 5 years. This lady, he was still contributing nothing. This guy is the one who was paying for the loan of the house and blah, 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 blah.
Why was, okay?
she
not contributing?
She was still unemployed. Okay? She was getting unemployment benefits and all that. But then those were not enough for her to contribute, I mean, to pay the loan. And maybe the money was going to the house one way or another, But when you think about like the house loan, the insurance, the this, the that, it was coming from this guy. So 5 years down the line, they decide that we are calling it quits, or the lady leaves. Divorce. Here comes. Guess what? This guy had to buy out this lady from a house that she has never paid anything. You can only imagine how bitter this man is to date.
Of course. He must be bitter, because I'm thinking, what?
Oh my God.
I am telling you, people out here.
But now, what people out here, this lady got married, they went to get a house loan, they were in love and all that, and they got a 50.
Yeah, they were in love, but just, Aki Jane.
Wait. This lady had no intention at that particular moment when they were getting this loan. It was not her intention to have a divorce 5 years down the line. They were married, they were soulmates, they were love and dandy. And that's what I mean, people should normalize. You are unemployed. I am this. So this house will do it like this. 70% of the house is mine. 30% is yours. And that's it.
Yeah.
So even when you're buying each other out, Yeah.
Or then you never know when they were now getting married, and I mean buying the house, maybe this lady already, you know, they were talking, I will get this job, so then we can be paying the house. You get. Maybe there was that kind of talk. Mm-hmm. So even this guy didn't, you know, see anything wrong with putting the house 50-50. Yeah. But then the lady thinks, whether it was knowingly or unknowingly, if it was knowingly, then it's really wrong on her part. Like,
exactly.
You know,
exactly.
My name is already there. Why do I need to work? You know, it could be that. Or it could be just bad luck that she really never, you know, things just didn't go her way and she never got the job. Yeah. So I think as we said, you need to evaluate the situation. If you see, this partner of mine, I mean, they could work if they really wanted to, but they just decided to sit. So then let's reevaluate. Uh-huh.
But you see, even all these evaluations, let's evaluate on case-to-case basis. Because if we buy a house, let's say, for example, we bought a house, and it's this scenario where this person is unemployed, or this person is only contributing to what? 10% of the mortgage, say, for example. Okay, we make it clear. Me, this house, 90% is mine and 10% is yours, right? You get a job. You start contributing more. We go back to the bank and we sign a new contract altogether, where now it's 40-40 or 60-40. And then if it comes to a point where it's 50-50, then it is 50-50. But people should stop being naive, because I think for me, it comes from a point of naivety. That you eat love at the end of the day. Love is not a guarantee.
At that particular point, it is, by the way.
I think my biggest take from this is that, as I started and said, like, I feel for me, prenups is those, you know, for millionaires, billionaires, that kind of money level. And I think, I think it we should normalize it to, for every commoner, you know.
Like, it should be very normalized, actually. I've thought about prenups, like having a prenup myself if I ever get married. I've thought about it. I don't know why, but I always think, I think it will be something good to have, imagine. Because I'm thinking, see, this marriage is a contract. And do you know the way you think before even you sign a work contract? You really have to think it. So, Sasa, this is someone you're sparing your space with, and you are afraid of protecting yourself. You know, when you're...
Let me just reveal my pettiness. Now, the thing that makes me scared is, like, it's a gamble. You could sign the prenup, then you end up losing.
Yes, exactly. Of course. It is a gamble. Because imagine if this person omokas, they become very, very, very wealthy. And then they're like, deuces.
Not that you will be badly off, but you could have gotten better.
Exactly.
You know?
Anyway,
Jane is starting
to reevaluate.
No, I'm not reevaluating anything. I think anybody who's scared of signing a prenup, they have ulterior motives, or they are thinking the way you're thinking, like, this other person will omoka and I will miss out, you know, this person. or this is my retirement plan or something, you know, like. I think prenups should bring people even closer together than drive them apart. It's not a question of people having mistrust or not, you know, but it's a question of me respecting your stuff, what you have, you respecting my things, and us being open and honest about what we feel about the things that we have and the things that we have together also. So it, for me, I feel like it's creating also boundaries.
Yeah, and protecting yourself. But I love the words you used, mistrust, because I think that's what it normally sounds like when you say prenup. It's like, I don't trust you, but in the contrary, it should be like setting boundaries.
Because I feel like if I sign a prenup, I would probably be even more loyal to this person, because there's no, I don't have anything at the back of my mind. I have nothing to lose. I have nothing to gain. You know, I'm not.
It's genuine. It's something genuine.
Exactly. It's very genuine. I'm there because of you. You as a human being, not you, what you have or you, what you don't have, or me, what I have or me, what I don't have. It's very genuine.
Yeah. Very true.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Monica, any last words?
No, that has been deep. Let's end this. Thank you, Jane, for the kind words, and Rehema. And thank you, our listeners. And let me just apologize to our listeners, because I feel like throughout this episode, I've just been screaming. So please, if you're using earphones, I'm sorry.
Reduce the volume.
We'll try to edit.
It's not the volume. There are some places I was just, my pitch was all over the roof.
It's okay.
But it's okay. Yes, please. Thank you very much, guys, for joining us today. And make sure to follow us on our social media platforms at Melanin Wave on all social, well, on Facebook and Instagram. And you can also send us an email at wavemelanin@gmail.com. And Jane is going to reply to you. Until next time.
Okay, goodbye, guys. See you next
time. Bye-bye. Body licking, melanin duchin, yakuna bleaching. Black is beautiful, you're not teaching. Girls are thinking, in my king tune, I'm a queen. Squad, you're the back of DJ. Black. Do your pangas are dealing. Black. Competition, I check it.